Jack Newton is president and co-founder of Thema Solutions and the creator of Clio Software. Clio is a fully integrated practice management solution for more efficient operation of the small law firm. Listen as Ed Pohl and Jack Newton discuss the benefits of operating in the cloud.
I have the pleasure today to talk to Jack Newton, who is the founder and CEO of Clio. Tell me, let's start first by describing in brief, because we'll get into it more later, what is Clio? What are we talking about?
Well, Clio is a web-based practice management product targeted specifically at the needs of solos and small firms. So basically what Clio allows you to do is manage everything related to your practice, whether it's client intake, setting up new matters, tracking your to-dos and calendar items as they relate to those matters, staying on top of your communications, emails, basically everything you need to do to stay on top of the business aspect of running a law practice is what Clio helps you with. There's another ancillary feature to Clio that we've added in the last year or so, and that's called Client Connect. And Client Connect allows lawyers to securely communicate and exchange documents with their clients through a client portal or extranet that's made available to the client over the web. So basically, that helps streamline all of the communications you have with your client and helps you manage your overall practice as well. So Clio and Client Connect are you know, really two products that go hand-in-hand with each other. And since everything is web-based, all a user needs to have is a web browser, and they can get up and running and giving Clio a try in their practice in a matter of a few minutes.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this question. Why did you create Clio? It seems to me that what you're describing is a fully integrated management system, with the exception of accounting and maybe timekeeping. We'll get into that. I'm not sure if you have that or not, but it really is a full-on program, it sounds like. Why did you create it?
Well, the idea for Clio got started about 2.5 or 3 years ago with the Law Society of British Columbia, actually, and for those of your listeners that might not be aware, the law societies in Canada are basically direct analogs of U.S. bar associations. And British Columbia's Law Society approached our company, Thema Solutions, about the idea of making a web-based practice management system. And what the Law Society saw was among its solo and small firm membership, you know, there was a real need for a tool that easily and quickly, and that was really central to the discussion, easily and quickly get up and running with a system that let them manage their practices effectively. And this was actually rooted in the Law Society's concern around seeing that the majority of ethics and malpractice-related issues, whether it's missed deadlines or trust accounting or any of the other various minefields that solos and small firms run into, were sourced with its solo small firm membership, not its, you know, mid-size and large law firm membership. So they really wanted to try to develop a proactive program for helping getting their solos and small firms, you know, on track, able to avoid the typical ethical and malpractice-related pitfalls, and also run their practices more effectively. And there's a wide variety of desktop software programs that are available on the market for managing practices, but what this was back in 2007, what we saw was a complete lack of a web-based alternative, along with all of the benefits that go along with software as a service and web-based software. So that's really where the impetus for Clio came from. We had a vision that practice managers would be more accessible, more easily deployed, and less of a headache for the end user if it was put on the web, and we started building that that vision back in 2007.
So in other words, the defining or differentiating characteristic then between you and other programs, perhaps Amicus or tabs or Time Matters or the others is that you are in the cloud, so to speak. You're on the internet, and they are on their PC or on their laptop. Is that correct?
Yeah, that, you've nailed it. I think that's the one of the key differentiators. You know, that's really the delivery mechanism for the software, and that is certainly a major difference between the products you've mentioned. And I think another guiding philosophy that we took when creating Clio, which isn't necessarily a byproduct of being on the web, but it certainly helps if you're web-based, is just designing a simpler product with almost a less is more design ethic around creating the software. So we've tried to create a product that has a lower, shallower learning curve that's easier to get up and running with, and as a compromise, it might have fewer of the high-end bells and whistles you might find in some of those other products. But on the plus side, we find that for the 90% use case that most people are looking at, they find it much more accessible and much easier to get up and running with.
Well, the advantage, I suppose, is that an individual doesn't have to install anything on their computer. You don't have to stick one CD or one DVD in after another and follow the directions and, you know, this overwrites one and doesn't overwrite the other. You know, do you want a custom? Do you want a standard? So on and so forth. That would be a positive as I would look at it. But on the negative, how would you address the concern that some folks would have, especially lawyers, about being in the cloud, about being in the internet, where hackers might get to? How do you address those ethical issues and concerns?
That's certainly been an issue that we've been thinking carefully about ever since the day we launched, and those have been questions we've faced with ever since we've launched as well. So we've put a lot of effort into properly addressing and doing our best to, at the end of the day, provide what we think and firmly believe is a more secure alternative than even hosting software and your data yourself. And what we're doing to do that is basically implementing a multi-layered, multifaceted approach to security and data availability. So at a basic level, we've secured our data centers. All of our data centers for Clio adhere to a strict set of auditing and security standards called the SAS 70 Type 2 security standard and our Tier 4 level data centers, which basically means that physical access to the data centers is very tightly controlled using biometric access, and access to the physical machines is limited to the people running the facility. We ourselves actually couldn't get physical access to the servers if we wanted to. We're able to, we have a daily security audit run on our systems and security. We have one of the largest internet security companies in the world named McAfee, running daily security audits on every aspect of our web service. And when you log into Clio, you can actually see that we've passed the last daily audit. There's a little badge that gets updated on it on a daily basis. And we also encrypt all of the communications between Clio and the end user. We use 256-bit SSL encryption, which basically allows you to use Clio securely, even from a Starbucks, for example, on an open Wi-Fi connection. All the communications between you and Clio will be completely encrypted and secured. So we've done a lot to basically make Clio a virtual Fort Knox for your confidential client data, and the types of security measures and backup procedures that we put in place I think are fantastic for the typical solo small firm, because it's the kind of infrastructure and the kind of external auditing and so on that they wouldn't be able to undertake the cost of doing on their own, but because of the economies of the cloud, they're able to get that level of data protection.
Well, that certainly is clear. I guess in my own mind, the question would arise, if I were the solo having a conversation with you, whether I would need that kind of encryption or confidentiality if I'm running it out of my own office. But I think having asked that question, the answer probably is yes. But how you get it, I guess, is another question. And as you say, if we're talking about a solo or even a small firm, the cost of making sure that you've got that kind of security is not insignificant. I know I've been urged by my bank, for example, to have online access, and frankly, I'm just afraid of doing that because assuming I make a mistake and leave an internet connection open, then somebody could get into my internet and then into my bank account, and they're assuring me that that's not possible. But I've just heard too many horror stories. So I'm glad to hear that despite the cloud, this issue is a serious one for Clio, and you seem to have addressed it.
Yeah, we're certainly doing our best to address the question, and you know, I think that what we're seeing, and it's a really exciting time for us as a company. We launched Clio two years ago, and we've seen a really exciting transition in the mindset and attitudes around cloud computing just in those 2 years. And I think we're going to continue to see a transition and broadening acceptance of cloud computing in the legal profession over the next 3 or 4 years as well. And, you know, we're, of course, big believers in the cloud as a technology platform. And it's my personal belief that within 3 or 4 years, we'll see a significant decline in desktop software of all types and see more and more applications moved into the cloud, whether it's legal practice management software or desktop processing software with Google Documents and so on. So it's certainly a transitionary time, and I think that your concerns around online banking and passwords and other people getting access to your account are well-founded, and security measures, whether it's automated sign-outs or frequent password rotation or any of the best practices that people adopt to help protect their online identities and help protect their online or cloud databases are becoming increasingly important. And the awareness level and education level, I think, is also really improving, and people realize that something being on the internet and being made available to them through the cloud is actually quite possibly more secure than them hosting the data themselves. And we've seen, you know, even Fortune 500 companies adopt cloud computing products. I'm sure you've heard of Salesforce.com. They're now a billion-dollar company and listed on the New York Stock Exchange, and we're one of the first cloud computing or software service companies. And virtually all of the Fortune 500 companies entrust their client and sales-related data, which is, you know, some of the most sensitive data a company could have, with Salesforce.
But right.
I think we've seen, you know, just a tremendous shift in attitudes around cloud computing and adoption of cloud computing in the last few years, and that pace is only going to accelerate.
Let me ask you one more question on the cloud, just briefly, before I move on to something else, and that is, I know that several Bar Association ethics committees have looked at the issue of whether cloud is secure enough under the rules of professional conduct. Today, I received an invitation to join a company called Dropbox to share files with somebody that I do business with. How does that and some of the others, like GoToMeeting and others, how do those compare with Client Connect? Are they similar and you're just adding an additional functionality to Clio, or is there some significant difference between and among these?
Well, what we've seen come out of a few Bar Association's ethics opinions on client communications is a move towards secure client communications in preference to insecure client communication methods like email. So if you're sending a sensitive document, if I've engaged you as my attorney on a certain case and you're sending me some confidential documents related to that case, many bar associations today would say it's acceptable for you to send those documents over email. But in Nevada and Massachusetts and what I believe will be a number of additional jurisdictions in the near future have changed that message so that sending communications via email, confidential communications over email, will no longer be allowed and instead should be done securely over some kind of web-based collaboration system or other secure communication method. So the Client Connect functionality I was describing for Clio earlier is one of those secure communication facilities in that all the communications between you and your client are conducted through a secure portal that's encrypted using the 256-bit SSL encryption I was describing earlier, or the what's often referred to as bank-grade encryption. So this is the same basic technology that you use to do online banking. So the documents are exchanged, messages are exchanged, basically in a completely confidential matter where it's impossible for somebody to eavesdrop on those communications. Email, on the other hand, is sent plain text over the Internet, and anyone with the ability to eavesdrop on an Internet connection between where you're sending the email and where the recipient receives the email is capable of eavesdropping on that transmission, which, of course, is a liability. And the secure communication mechanisms that Client Connect, there's a company named BLO Tech that's now owned by Total Attorneys that offers a virtual law office technology for doing the same kind of thing. There's a company named, the name's escaping me right now, there's one other company, Direct Law is another company offering a secure client communication portal and virtual law office type technology platform that are very similar to Client Connect that are a more secure alternative. And I think you'll see bar associations increasingly moving towards requiring secure communications.
Well, has Clio been has Clio been the subject of inquiry in any of these bar association reviews of ethics?
Just this past week, we were the are the subject of an ethics inquiry in North Carolina. A firm in North Carolina is interested in using Clio to store their confidential client documents and has asked the Bar Association if it's within the ethics guidelines for the Bar Association and within the rules of the professional conduct to use a system like Clio. And there's actually the initial hearing on this issue to move towards issuing a formal ethics opinion on the use of Clio and cloud computing in general is going to be this coming Thursday, so April the 16th, I believe, is the date of the hearing. So there will be some brand new developments on this front in North Carolina, and there's been judgments in a wide variety of other jurisdictions on issues not directly on cloud computing, but in neighboring or adjacent technology fields like offsite backup, for example, or offsite document storage. And the rulings often fall into a common message or follow a similar line of reasoning. And they rule basically that the lawyer should perform a reasonable amount of due diligence to ensure that the third-party service provider, whether it's an offsite document storage company like Iron Mountain, whether it's an offsite backup solution provider like Mosey or Carbonite, to ensure that those providers are adhering to a level of care of the data that the lawyer can be reasonably assured that their client's confidences will remain intact. And that is, I think, the same line of reasoning we'll see applied to cloud computing. They'll want to ensure that they see technologies like SSL encryption employed and hopefully require a baseline level of certain technical standards being adhered to. But that's really, I think, what bar associations will be looking to in terms of precedence in related ethics opinions.
All right, let's talk about some of the specifics then. How does Clio differ from the Microsoft Office suite in terms of calendar tasks and the like? How is this different? I suspect you're not incorporating those programs. You've created your own. And the follow-up question I guess I would have is, since most of the world today seems to be operating under Microsoft, how do you interact? How does Clio interact with others who are using Microsoft?
Well, we see Clio as a complement to the Microsoft Office suite of products and not something that would necessarily replace it. What we've done at a philosophical level with managing and handling data in Clio is made everything matter-centric. And this is really, I think, the key difference in how lawyers think and work and how your practice management should think and system should think and work as compared to the way Microsoft and Microsoft Office view data. So Microsoft Office views your calendar and your tasks and your documents really as little islands of data that have no relationship to one another and don't have relationships to any overarching project or matter. And that's really where Clio can come in to help organize your life around your cases or matters. So when you upload your documents to Clio, you can attach them directly to a matter. So in Clio, you can upload Word files, Excel files, PDF files, JPEGs, PNGs, any kind of file you can imagine, and link those directly to the matter they relate to. Likewise, with calendar items, you can link them specifically to the matter they relate to. And with tasks, you can link them to the matter they relate to. So you can have a task like file a document or file a court document and link it to the matter it relates to. So in the to-do item, you don't need to describe at length what matter it relates to and what document needs to be attached to the submission and so on. You've got that link to the parent matter or the matter it relates to so that you can easily jump to that matter and get context for the to-do item or calendar item or document that you're looking at. So in that way, Clio is really a system that makes all of your data relational and links it all to the matter it relates to. And I think that's the single biggest benefit of using a practice management system, especially a matter-centric practice management system, is that you can go to any one of your cases or matters and see all of the data, calendar items, tasks, documents, et cetera, that relate to that matter at a glance. And Microsoft Office is basically the tool you use to produce the documents and so on that you'll be putting and linking into Clio. And something we just released about 6 months ago is an Outlook synchronization tool for Clio that will actually synchronize your Clio calendar with your Outlook calendar. It will synchronize your Clio tasks with your Outlook tasks, and it will synchronize your Clio contacts with your Outlook contacts as well. So you're able to have the best of both worlds and have that local Outlook data and keep using the Outlook that you you know and love, or in some cases maybe know and hate, and you know, link all of that data easily to Clio.
Well, let me ask you this question. Why would you have a duplicate system?
Well, you'd have a duplicate system for several reasons. One reason we created Clio Sync was our users are used to using Outlook. They maybe have hundreds or thousands of contacts sitting in Outlook. They have maybe, you know, years worth of data sitting in Outlook, and they want an easy way to get that calendar, contact, and task list from Outlook into Clio. So rather than making them perform a bunch of complicated export and import steps, we give them one tool, this Clio Sync for Outlook tool, and they can instantly get their data into Clio. And they can continue using Outlook for managing their calendar or managing their tasks and get that data replicated up to Clio easily and efficiently. There's other benefits to using dual systems. Some bar associations actually require that you have a dual calendaring system so that you have your calendar stored in at least two places. So having the sync is a form of backup where if Clio became unavailable for any reason or your Outlook data file got corrupt and was no longer accessible, you have an up-to-date copy of that data stored in Clio or in Outlook. And the final reason for creating the synchronization functionality for Outlook is to facilitate offline access. So there's a number of scenarios where you might want to access your client data, your calendar, or your tabs while you're in a plane or maybe in an area without an internet connectivity. You might not be able to access Clio, but you'll be able to access your local Outlook data and then just synchronize with Clio the next time you get an internet connection.
Okay. Well, what else does Clio do that we would normally use Microsoft Office or one of its components to do that now Clio is going to be doing?
Well, one of the common scenarios we see in small law firms all over the country are really basic workflows or really basic needs that people need addressed that never get fulfilled because of the technological impediments in actually getting something basic up and running. So to give you an example, something as basic as having a shared contact list where your entire office is sharing an address book of your clients and so on, a shared calendar that you can view a firm-wide calendar and view individuals' calendars as well. A shared task system where you can assign to-dos from one staff member to another and have all of this hopefully work in an environment where it can have where you have geographically dispersed locations. You maybe have an office in Florida and an office in North Carolina, and you want the two offices sharing data. You know, these are all challenges and I think real-world scenarios that a typical small law firm needs to face. And traditionally, to solve these problems, you'd be looking at having to buy an Exchange server, having to buy several other technologies like virtual private networks and remote access technology, and have to bring in an expensive IT consultant to implement all of this. You could be easily looking at a $5,000 to $10,000 bill just to get those basics that I think every single law office needs up and running. And with cloud-based technologies, it really means that you can get up and running with that kind of collaboration capability and information sharing capability for a much reduced price, a lower step-in cost, with no upfront investment. So you can give it a try and see if it works. And if it doesn't, you just cancel your subscription and you're maybe out, hundreds of dollars at the very most, as opposed to figuring out something, one of the traditional solutions doesn't work, and being out thousands of dollars. So
what is the cost of Clio, Jack?
Clio is $49 per month per attorney and $25 per month per support staff.
And what's the setup cost?
There's no setup cost, and there's a free 30-day trial as well. So you can pilot Clio in your law office and, just get a sense of whether it works for your needs and fits solves some of your pain points. And if it does, you can continue past the 30 days at the $49 per attorney per month or $25 per support staff per month.
And let me ask you one last question, and that is, how does the new system of Clio interact with your smartphones, BlackBerry, iPhones, and others that are out there?
That's actually one of the benefits of cloud computing that we didn't really touch on, and one of the things we've really focused on making an excellent experience with Clio, and that's mobile access. So from an iPhone or a Palm Pre or an Android-based phone like the Motorola Droid, you can access Clio's mobile site at m.goclio.com and have your entire practice at your fingertips. So you can access virtually every aspect of your practice, whether it's your matters, your contacts, your to-do list. You can actually view documents and download any document from your document repository from Clio onto your iPhone or onto your smartphone. And just this week, actually, we had the first chance of trying out Clio on the new Apple iPad as well, which makes the mobile computing to a whole new level and makes it so that you can access all of your practice and have all of your data on the go with you in this really thin portable tablet. So I think it's a really exciting time for mobile devices and the mobile lawyer especially.
Thanks for joining us today. It's been a pleasure for me anyway to look at this process through the eyes of an expert.
Great to be here, Ed.
You have been listening to a Law Biz podcast. For more podcasts, please visit www.lawbiz.com/podcasts.html. You can read more about this and other topics from the business of law at www.lawbizblog.com, or start your own discussion about this topic at www.lawbizforum.com. Join today. Feel free to tell your friends and colleagues about Law Biz podcasts. You may duplicate this program in part or in whole, provided that you retain appropriate attribution and copyright notices.